Welcome, everybody. Welcome to shareenjoyment.com. This is Mordechai Plasker. Tonight's share is dedicated in memory and Leila Nishmas, Leah, Bas, Rabbi Yitzhak Meir. Neshama shall have an Aliyah, and we shall only know the Surahs Tovos and everything positive. So tonight's share is focused on leadership, and I wanted to focus on two important characteristics demonstrated by Yosef and by Yehuda, which will come full effect in next week's parasha. But in this week's parasha, we know that leaders are attracted to problems. They can see issues and problems as puzzles that need to be solved. I heard a nice thought from Dr. Erica Brown about this, that leaders lean into dilemmas. They don't face any form of intimidation, despair, or helplessness. And Miketz offers us a glimpse into the problem-solving skills of Yosef and Yehuda. So first, with Yosef. We know that Yosef was a dreamer, but his personal salvation and that of his estranged family really came about through dream interpretation. And no one else had the confidence, the experience, or the ability to help Paro understand his inner confusion. As Paro had said, "Uposer einenu oso." But we know that when Yosef comes along, he brings a certain level of confidence into the room, and his interpretation is accepted. So his skill set of dream interpretation later translated into governance, and this really focused on elements of careful observation, listening, analysis, and of course execution. So Yosef was more than just simply someone who looked at problems as something that had to be solved. He was someone who gave back all of the recognition to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's really where Paro draws the line and says, have we seen anyone quite like this, that Asher Ruach HaLakimbo, that he carries the vision, he carries the elements of divinity with him? Because everything that Yosef did, and it was very unusual for him to give back recognition to someone else, meaning HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So, you know, in those days, everyone wanted to get the honor, get the kavod, but Yosef was someone who gave it all away. And this really was impressive because it was so unusual. When we think about Yosef, we think about the fact that he was simply a person who never gave up on his dreams. And that's the reason why in last week's parasha, we find that Yosef was an ish matzliach. The Torah refers to him as a successful person. And yet you find that he wasn't, if you were to paint a picture of somebody like Yosef, you wouldn't necessarily think that he was so successful. He was jaded by his brothers. He was not accepted. He was thrown into a pit. He was put into a cherem. He was sold and accused of all these different crimes that he never committed. And yet Yosef never gave up hope. And we talked about this last week, about the fact that Yosef demonstrated courage in despite the fact that everything was dark around him. And that's something that we also find with Yehuda. It says in last week's parasha that Yehuda fell from grace because as the strongest of the brothers, he had the power. Ma betza, you know, boketz, arayim, erev, what benefit do we have in abandoning our brother? And yet the overwhelming majority went ahead and sold him into slavery. But Yehuda was the person who fell from grace because he had the power perhaps to change the minds of others, and he didn't. And so there, the brothers had some form of resentment toward him because they saw how pained their father was after all of those years that Yaakov didn't receive the Nevuah. He still could not fathom and understand how or what could have happened to Yosef. Torov Torav Yosef. My daughter, Shana Devorah, gave me a beautiful shir the other week, and she said that the Kesonos Pasim was actually the beged that Adam Rishon was given by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was then taken away by Nimrod. And then from Nimrod, Esav killed Nimrod, and then he put on this beged. And so therefore he was Yadua Tzayid. He was Ish Tzayid, right? He was a person who was a hunter, but really all the animals came forward to him because this particular beged was the same beged that Adam Rishon had used, which allowed all the animals to come forward, and that's how Adam named all those animals. That's the same names that we use today for those animals. For Esav to put on this beged, it was very simple for all the animals to come, and then he was able to decide which animal he wanted to consume and enjoy that particular evening. So with regard to this Kesonos Pasim, we also know it's an acronym for the Plishtim, the Yishmaelim, the Mochrim. So all of these, the Pasim referred to the Sochrim, all of this referred to the different stages by which Yosef ended up coming down to Mitzrayim. And then when we turn to Yehuda, we see Vayeri Yehuda Me'esachav. So the Rashi says that at a moment of darkness, which we know the days are very short this time of year. And so there's a certain form of darkness, a certain type of frigidity, there's a certain type of coldness. And we think that everything around us is not moving, nothing growing. And yet, despite the fact that the temperature has fallen to, you know, freezing levels, but we're warmed by the beautiful Hanukkah Neros, which now we're enjoying on the eighth night of Hanukkah, which, by the way, eighth night of Hanukkah is so special. It's Zos Hanukkah. So Hasidic sources bring down that on the eighth night, what you could not accomplish on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, or even on Shana Rabbah, you can accomplish on Zos Hanukkah, which means that the bakashos, the tefillos that we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, this is a very auspicious time, and this is the time when we should increase our tefillos, increase the Tehillim tomorrow in honor of Zos Hanukkah. But just going back to Yehuda for a moment, we know that when the famine intensified and Yaakov is presented with this terrible dilemma that he has to face, Shimon is now in prison, Yosef, he doesn't know what happened to him, and Binyamin is being sequestered by Yosef, and so he doesn't know what to do. You know, he says, Alai hayu kulana, on me has fallen everything. The word Alai, we translated back in Parshas Toldos, refers to Rivka Imenu, who said, Alai kilascha b'nei. The word Alai refers to Esav love on Yosef, that even though you, Yaakov, will experience these trials and tribulations, I, Rivka Imenu, your mother, will be taking some of that pain away from you. So whatever challenges a child faces, understand that the parent has already taken up at least 50% of that pain away from the child. And that's as much as the parent can do. If the parent can do 100%, they would do the same or much more. And you never have a child have to go through any difficulty. But Rivka Imenu had said, Alai hayu kulan, Alai kilascha b'nei, it will fall on me. So now Yaakov Avinu is saying, in full effect, he's saying, Alai hayu kulana, I experienced all the things that my mother had told me many years back. He felt it. He felt the pain of having to have gone through the trials and tribulations related to Esav and Lavan, and now with Yosef. So Reuben steps forward and he says, Shnei banai tamus im lo avienu, like my two sons will pass if I don't bring back Binyamin to you. And then Yaakov is not convinced because he's saying, wait a minute, these children that you're wagering are also mine. So I'm not so convinced that this is the right messaging that I'm interested in hearing at this moment. And then the famine intensifies, the Torah tells us, and then Yehuda steps forward. And what does he say? He says, Anochi erevenu miyadi tevakshenu. I will be the guarantor, and I will also be the obligor. I will also be the one to bring him back. And so the question is, how can Yehuda say such words? First of all, you would think about the fact that Yehuda stood up and said these words. All the Shvatim could have said whatever they wanted, but the demonstration of a leader is somebody who takes the initiative, takes the responsibility. And that's what Yosef did when he interpreted his dreams. He stepped forward to give an interpretation. He could have been quiet and, you know, waited his time out in the prison and then become a regular person in Mitzrayim. But instead, the demonstration of a leader is someone who stands up and seeks the recognition that he rightfully deserves and then speaks with confidence and initiative and resolve. And that's exactly what Yosef HaTzadik demonstrated. And now Yehuda has the same form of demonstration. He says that he'll be both a guarantor and an obligor. And this really presents an issue because we know that if you were to rent an apartment or sign a document that you are guaranteeing payment, you can't also sign the document that you are the obligor, meaning if you're the one whose apartment is in your name, you're going to sign that you're going to make the payment. The guarantor has to be somebody else. And yet Yehuda was having both of them play the same role in his own name. So what is going on over here? So there's a Gemara in Shabbos that brings down that the word, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Anochi Notrikin, Ananashi Kesivas Yehavis. Rabbi Yochanan had said that the word Anochi is really an acronym for what? It stands for, I, Hashem, wrote this Torah and delivered it to you. Ananashi Kesivas Yehavis. I, Hashem, wrote this Torah, Yehavis, and I brought it over to you, delivered it to you, Klai Yisrael. So what was Yehuda really saying? Yehuda was saying HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the guarantor. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the guarantor, then miyadi tevakshenu, then the bakashos, the supplications that I will render on behalf of my brother, Binyamin, will be 100% presented. You know, I will not shirk that responsibility. Yes, I will take full responsibility to usher in a time of when Binyamin will be returned to you, but understand and recognize, dear Father, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is running the show,
And as difficult as times are, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the guarantor. And then miyadi tivakshenu, from my hand, I will do my best as the Al-Bagor to bring him back to you. It's interesting also that there's another interpretation to the word Anochi, because we know that the parsha of Bereishis, the opening letter, begins with the letter Beis. And Aleph seemed to be left out. Aleph may have felt a little bit, you know, slighted, that he wasn't able to lead the Torah with the letter Aleph. Instead, Beis took its place. But we see that when it comes to the Aseres HaDibros, which is the microcosm of the Torah itself, right, the letter Aleph begins, Anochi Hashem Lokecha, Asher Hotzeisi Me'eretz Mitzrayim. I, Hashem, am the one who took you out of Mitzrayim. And so the letter Aleph begins the conversation by which we are introduced to the Aseres HaDibros. And here the letter Aleph takes precedent, not the letter Beis or any other letter. So here we see, in summation, as we close out, that to demonstrate leadership, we need to take resolve. We need to be able to translate our skill set into something that breeds confidence and that exudes confidence. And that this is exactly what Yosef had demonstrated with his ability to dream, which is something that we all should have within ourselves, the ability to have that entrepreneur type mindset of where we see things that others don't. Even if we work for other people, that's fine. But we have to be able to see things. We have to be able to see the cause and effect even before it happens. And that's a Yosef. So therefore, we have Mashiach ben Yosef and we have Mashiach ben David, because these are the leaders within the tribes. And even when we look at Reuven, for example, you know, Reuven said, you know, I told you not to mess with this child because look what's going to happen. But the criticism of Reuven is that he should have accepted upon himself that lost opportunity, or that opportunity cost, as they say in economics. So when we think about Yosef, we think about a person who comes forward, presents himself, interprets the dreams to Paro, and even though he was sitting in a dungeon 1 minute, he's now Mishnah Melech the next minute. We see that when it comes to Yehuda, Yehuda is the one who could have been silent, but yet he took on the responsibility, he demonstrated the initiative, and that leadership skill is why we have Mashiach ben David. Because Yehuda is also the one who says, Tzadka Mimeni, she is more righteous than I am, referring to Tamar. And he could have been quiet again. He could have said nothing, and then she would have been burned at the stake. And so the Zera of Mashiach would have been lost with Tamar at that moment. But we see that Yehuda was able to accept the times when he had his shortcomings and accept that form of responsibility. And when it came time for him to demonstrate his responsibility, he went ahead and did so with regard to his father. And then we see, of course, in next week's parsha, when it came to fulfilling that obligation, he steps forward, Yigash, I love Yehuda. And that is the demonstration of a true leader. To be able to accept your shortcomings, to be able to demonstrate leadership and resolve, and to be able to execute on the principles of understanding that you've been able to gather from all of those years of living in a house of Yaakov. So with that, we turn to Zos Chanukah. And again, Zos Chanukah is a beautiful time. It's the culmination of 8 nights. And we know, as my Rebbe, Rav Moshe David Tamler, would often say, that the Shamash is the Torah, and we have all of these 8 neros, which represent all the 8 forms of wisdom in the world. It could range from music to astronomy to science to literature to all the different forms of spheres of knowledge. And yet we see that Torah is the composite, meaning it has a fochbo, a fochbo, a kulo bo, that if you turn the Torah upside down and keep on learning it inside and out, you will see that it has all of these amazing sciences, it has all of the spheres of knowledge, all wrapped inside the Torah itself. And that, my friends, is the culmination of Chanukah, which is just a beautiful holiday, which represents, again, a chinuch, the light that we bring into the world through kiner mitzvah, the Torah or, through the light of the mitzvah, the Torah or, and the Torah is a beacon of light that brings and shines across all of the nations of the world. It should be a schus that we should take the neros of Chanukah with us a whole year, and we should be inspired by these lights, that we should be able to uplift our fellow Jews to see the light. And with that, we should be able to also see much simcha and much happiness and only good things to come. Mordechai Plotzker wishing you the very best, a wonderful happy Chanukah, and a wonderful Rosh Chodesh, Teves, that's coming upon us, and only the best this coming week, Shavua Tov.